Book of Hebrews, chapter 13. I'm just going to read two passages or two verses of Scripture this morning. Hebrews 13, and notice what it says in verse 7. Remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time you've given us to come into your house. We thank you, Lord, for your word. And we pray, Lord, now as we have worshiped you in song, we pray as your word would go forth, that we would worship you in spirit and in truth according to your word. We pray, Lord, that you would be lifted up, that Christ Jesus would be exalted this morning. Lord, we are in prayer for our pastor this morning. We pray for Brother Kenny. And Lord, we're so thankful for him. And as this service is kind of gathered to show our thankfulness for him, Lord, we are thankful to you for him. And we lift you up and give you all honor and glory and praise for providing us with such great pastors in this church. Lord, we are so thankful for Brother Jim who's here this morning. We're thankful for his ministry and witness in this church for many years. And Lord, we are also thankful for our current pastor, Brother Kenny, that you've provided him for our growth, for our spiritual guidance, for our leadership, Lord, in spiritual matters. And Lord, we just are so thankful to you for these blessings. Lord, we pray now as we focus on your word that our hearts and our minds would be in tune, that we would be concentrated and focused on what your word has to say, that we wouldn't be distracted or hindered in any which way, but Lord, we would solely focus upon you and your word. We pray, Lord, that you would help me to say the things you would have me to, prohibit me from saying anything else. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray these things. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13 talks about those that have rule over you. It seems odd in today's society where it seems like no man wants anyone to have rule over them. No one wants any kind of authority figure ruling over or in regards to their own life. They want to do as they please, just like in the book of Judges. Every man does what is right in their own eyes. But the Bible specifically tells us about those that have rule over us in spiritual matters. And as I begin thinking and preparing for a message this morning, I begin to think about what I could preach about what a pastor is, and thinking of Brother Kenny, and what God would have me to talk about being in a pastor role as Brother Kenny is. And I looked at Hebrews chapter 13, and it's interesting that in three separate verses of this chapter, it talks about those that have rule over you. If you call your attention to verse 7, it says, to remember them that have rule over you. If you notice verse 17 of the same chapter, it says, obey them that have the rule over you. And at the very end of the chapter, the end of the book of Hebrews, in verse 24, it says, salute or to greet all them that have rule over you. So you have three separate verses talking about those that have rule over you and how you are to respond to those people. But this morning I want to simply look at verse 7, and we'll look a little bit of all of these texts, but I want to especially focus on verse 7 this morning. There's two sections to this verse that we're going to look at. The first section is the description of a pastor that's found in this verse of Scripture. The second is the command given regarding your pastor. There's a description of your pastor, and then a command given to you in regarding your pastor. So first of all, I want to look at the description that is given here in this verse talking about what a pastor is. I want you to notice what it says in verse 7. It says, remember them, notice this, which have the rule over you. That have rule over you. Now, first and foremost, the office of a pastor is not a dictatorship. It is not a dictatorship where the pastor makes all the shots, all the calls, and the church follows them regardless of what they are. You see, a lot of churches practice that way. A lot of churches, the pastor is king. And the Lord set up His church to be a democracy. The Lord set up His church to be governed by the body. The church body. The church is a body. And the local church body is to govern the church. So the pastor is not to be a dictator. In fact, in the text that I read this morning to you, in the book of 1 Peter, it talks about that. In chapter 5, it says, if I can find it here, in chapter 5 and verse 3, it says, not being lords over God's heritage. That basically means not being a dictator, a king or a ruler over God's people, over God's heritage, but to be an example, it says. That's what a pastor is. But it does say those that rule over you. This word rule could be translated lead. Those that are your leaders. You see, the office of a pastor is one who leads in spiritual matters. Not a dictator, not one who barks orders, but one who stands for the Word of God and leads the congregation. Folks, this church, Storms Creek Missionary Baptist Church, has been enormously blessed with those type of pastors. And you should be thankful. You should be thankful for the years that Brother Jim stood behind this pulpit, faithfully declaring the Word of God and being a spiritual leader for this church. And then Brother Kenny has done the exact same thing, to stand before you as a spiritual leader. Be thankful for your pastors. It is rare. Brother Kenny has been here 10 years as pastor. That is more rare than you think. You talk about some churches, they can't find a pastor. Some churches are still searching for pastors for years and can't find someone to come and lead over their congregation. Or if they have pastors, you have some churches that don't appreciate their pastors, or their pastors come and go and hop around and go to different church after church. Now, I believe that you're to go exactly where God would have you to go. And I believe if God would call Kenny somewhere else, it would be Kenny's duty to go somewhere else. But this church should be so thankful that God has saw fit to have pastors in the office for these many years. He's not a dictator, but He is a leader. And you know what? You're to obey your leader. You're to obey your spiritual leader, if it's according to the Word of God. And that's what verse 17 says. It says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Why? Because they watch over your souls. Your pastor watches over your soul. You think that's an important job? You think that's more important than your plumber? Your pastor watches over your soul. So the first description that is given of a pastor here is he is one that has rule over you. He is a leader. He is your spiritual leader, and he is one that you are to obey as long as it is in regards to what the Word of God says. Secondly, our verse says they have spoken unto you the word of God. Don't take for granted that this church has been preached faithfully the word of God for years. Don't take that for granted. In fact, I find it interesting. Notice verse 9 of this same chapter. Be not carried about with different or divers or strange doctrine. Have you ever known of churches or a church that would believe in this particular doctrine, whatever it is, point A, and when the pastor comes, they switch all of a sudden to believing doctrine B, and then when another pastor comes, they go back to believing in this specific doctrine? Have you ever noticed that? Folks, a pastor of a New Testament church is to faithfully preach all of the Word of God. Why is that important? The reason that's important is because when that pastor is called home to be with the Lord, or when that pastor would leave, or when that pastor would retire, whatever the case may be, and that church is to determine a new pastor and to vote for a new pastor, that church needs to be well-versed in the Word of God to where they can fill the pulpit with someone who believes all the Word of God as they do. And what happens is the pastor will teach as a dictator, whatever may be the case, and then when one leaves, another comes out. And if they truly teach the Word of God and ground you in the Word of God, then I believe you will have conviction over who is behind your pulpit and what they believe. Don't you think? Be thankful that Brother Kenny preaches the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God. Why does he do that? Let me tell you guys something. It would be easy. It would be a lot easier for Kenny, Brother Jim, myself, Stephen, Ricky teaching Sunday school, Darwin teaching Sunday school, anyone that teaches or anyone that preaches behind the pulpit, it would be a lot easier to stand up and to preach very politically correct messages. Boy, that would be easy. And you know what? You might see your church fill up and grow a lot faster if you would do that. But there is no substance to that. And the reason that I don't do that, and the reason that Brother Kenny doesn't do that, or any of the teachers that I've mentioned here, the reason that they have convictions to the Word of God and to do that is because, folks, they are accountable to God for preaching the whole counsel of God's Word. Not leaving it out. Boy, it'd be easy not to preach on closed communion, wouldn't it? That'd be easy. It'd be easy not to teach. I mean, it would be easy from a politically correct standpoint not to teach the beautiful doctrines of God's grace in salvation. But we teach and we stand on these doctrines because we are accountable to God for the whole Word of God. In fact, in verse 17, it says that. It says, they must give an account over watching over your souls. I love the fact that Brother Kenny does not shy away from whatever is before him in a text. I thank God for that in my pastor, that he doesn't shy away from what is next in the text of God's Word. But he preaches it. He preaches all the counsel of the Word of God. Keep your place here in Hebrews chapter 13 and turn over with me to Acts chapter 20. He's accountable to God for what he says behind this pulpit. That's a tremendous thought if you think about it. The book of Acts chapter 20, Paul's getting ready to leave Ephesus and he's getting ready not to see these people again. And he gives the pastors of the church great leadership and guidance. But as he's beginning to leave, notice what he says in verse 25, "And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more." So these are the last words he's about to give these men. Notice what he says in verse 26, "Whereof I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men." You know what he's saying there? You can't lay anything to my charge that I didn't preach to you the way I was supposed to preach. You can't lay any charge of any man not believing the gospel or blaming that on me or whatever the case may be. Because notice what he says in verse 27. "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." You want to know why Paul could leave that place and have a clear conscience that he had done what he was supposed to do? Because he knew that he had preached all the counsel of God. I believe when Brother Jim retired, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, Brother Jim, but I believe when Brother Jim retired, he could retire and leave the pulpit of Storms Creek Missionary Baptist Church with a clear conscience, knowing that he had preached all the counsel of God's Word. Would you say amen to that? And folks, I believe Brother Kenny is the same way. If Brother Kenny would leave this earth tonight, if God would call him to be at home, or he would even retire, whatever the case may be, he could have a clear conscience because he preached all the counsel of the Word of God to you. That's the mark of a great pastor. That's what you want in a pastor. And Storms Creek Missionary Baptist Church, I address you right now. You may not always have the pastor you have right now. You may have a time where you need to call someone else as a pastor. Make sure they will preach to you all the counsel of the Word of God. That's what a true pastor is. So we see a description of the pastor as one who leads, one who preaches the whole counsel of God, and then the third description given here. Notice our text again. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 7 says, "Remember them which have rule over you," that's number one, "who have spoken unto you the word of God," number two, "whose faith follow," notice the third one, "considering the end of their conversation." Now, when we use the word conversation today, we use it in the term of speaking one to another. But here, this word means their life. Okay? The third description of the pastor here is one that their conduct produces fruit. Now, the words say their end of their conversation. Okay? In the New American Standard version of the Bible, it translated it the results of their conduct. Now, some people debate this, and I'm not going to spend very long on this at all, but some people debate whether this verse is talking about those that have already died in the faith, those that already have passed away, that were your leaders or your teachers or your pastors. And they make a strong case. It could be because it tells you to remember them. It tells you to remember, and some of them say that they have spoke in past tense the Word of God to you. And then some say that this last verse here, that last phrase, means their end of their life. Consider how they died and they were faithful up until the end of their life. That may be the case, but I believe that it's also present tense. I believe it's present tense here because notice what it says in verse 7. "Remember them which have the rule over you." I believe it's one who currently has the rule over you also. Regardless of which way you take that, it still applies that the life of a pastor is one that produces fruit. I didn't like using the phrase the conduct produces results. You want to know why I don't like that phrase? Because it's not up. When we think of results, we think of maybe people coming in here and joining the church or filling the pew. The pastor is to work as hard as he can to try to grow his congregation. Don't get me wrong. But it's not up to the pastor to produce results. Who produces the results? God produces the results. Noah preached for 120 years. He didn't produce very many results, did he? But he was faithful in what he did. The pastor is one who produces fruit in their conduct, in their life. It's a life that you can look at and say, he's one that walks closely with the Lord Jesus. And that's what I believe this passage is saying. This passage is saying the pastor is one who rules over you, who leads you. It's saying he's one who preaches all the Word of God to you. And it's one who, when you look at his life, you see the fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. Do you see that in Brother Kenny? Absolutely. You see a man who strives to live holy, for God is holy. You see a man who strives to do the right things and to please God. And that is what you're looking for in a pastor. Remember their conduct. And you're given two commands here, and we'll go over these quickly as we wrap up here. The two commands, I'm going to start with the last command because it goes along right with what I just said. Notice what it says at the end of verse 7. It says, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Whose faith follow. You know what that could be translated as? It could be said, whose faith you should imitate. You should be able to look at your pastor's life and imitate your life after. Now that's an important charge to you as a church, but that's also an important charge to your pastor. To live a life that your congregation can look to and seek to imitate that. And that's the command that's given to you. Imitate your pastor's life as long as he meets the criteria that the Scriptures set forth. Folks, I feel, and I'm so thankful to God this morning, that we have a pastor. Folks, I can look up to him. And you can look up to him. And you can watch his faith. And you can follow his faith. And imitate your life after him. In a world that is so full of ridiculous and horrible role models, people who look to these celebrities who are nothing more than godless people that love their sin, how thankful we should be that we can have people that we look up to in the faith and model our lives after as well. So that's the first commandment. It's the second one given here, but that's the first one we talk about. And the last commandment given, or the first, technically the first commandment given that I want to focus your attention on is the very first word of verse 7. Remember. Remember them which have the rule over you. Remember them. How easy it is to forget about your pastor. How easy it is to not think about your pastor. I'm going to give you some ways that you forget about your pastor. More importantly, I'm going to give you some ways you are to remember your pastor. Remember your pastor when you pray. You need to pray for your pastor. You need to pray for that man right there. He is the one that watches over your souls. He is the one that is accountable to preach unto you the whole Word of God. Remember him when you pray. Pray for him daily. Go to the Lord on his behalf and pray for that man. Remember, Remember him monetarily. That's hard to preach sometimes, and that's really hard for him to preach, but I don't mind to say it on his behalf. And I feel like our church does a good job at that. But remember, it's not the church's job to keep your pastor poor. Remember that a man who stands for God's word and is your spiritual leader, he is worthy of his wages. He is worthy of his due. Remember him monetarily. Remember that your pastor gets discouraged. And be an encouragement to him. Lift him up. When all possible, lift your pastor up. Remember that your pastor works hard. Folks, it's hard to prepare a message to preach. It's hard to study God's Word and to compile and to prepare a message to present before the congregation. And for a man to do that week in and week out, all the time, that's hard work. That doesn't count visitation. That doesn't count visiting people and spending time with people and funerals and weddings and all those things that go along with it and counseling and being that spiritual leader and guiding and watching over people and those 3 a.m. calls at night. That doesn't count all those things. Your pastor works hard. Remember that. Brother Jeff was able to retire from his secular job and commit to the full-time ministry, as was Brother Kenny this past year. And it's funny because Brother Jeff said people all the time, and I don't know if you've had this happen to you, but people all the time would come up to him and say, "How are you enjoying your retirement?" They don't realize that a pastor's work is hard work. And he doesn't get to punch in and punch out. Kenny doesn't punch in and punch out from being pastor. That's a continual job, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to be your pastor. Remember, he has feelings and he has emotions. And he can see, too. I think sometimes people think the pastor is blind when they stand up in the pulpit. Remember, he has feelings and emotions, and it hurts someone's feelings when you study and you prepare and you put all your hard work into developing a message and a plan to preach to you what you feel that God has laid on your heart to deliver the message that your people needs, and then when you're delivering it. Pastor can see those things. You know what else the pastor can see? This one drives me bonkers. Pastor can see this. He can see you playing with the babies. Show your pastor respect in God's house. Sit in your pew, be attentive, listen to God's word, because this is a message from God. This isn't something Kenny just came up with. Amazes me. I'm getting on a tangent now. Maybe I better stop. It amazes me how people will enter a church service and they'll come in the doors and someone will be praying and they'll... But yet when the pastor's up there, when we're talking to man, or we're man and we're talking to God, that's much better to interrupt than when God is speaking to you. Don't you believe that? Show some respect. Now, I'm not saying that you march in when someone's praying. Don't take that as the opposite way. But when Kenny's up here and he's preaching the Word of God, show some respect to the Word of God that is being preached forth. We don't ask for much respect. You know, it was in the book of Ezra that they read the law and the people of God stood for 3 hours as they read the law. They stood to show respect to the reading of God's Word. You have a pastor that stands before you week in and week out and opens this Word, preaches the entire counsel of God. Just remember,
He works hard and he has feelings and emotions. You show him the respect that he deserves.
Remember, final remembrance. Remember that the man of God is a man. Remember that the man of God is simply a man. The best of men are but men. Why did I say that? Because sometimes you're going to have to forgive your pastor. He's not perfect. It's amazing how if a pastor says something, one thing wrong, or doesn't visit one person, or messes up one thing, how someone will hold a grudge on that pastor for years and years, and maybe even stop attending the church because of that. Remember that the man of God is simply a man. And he needs your forgiveness too. Remember that.
All those things being said, I'll close with this. The next verse says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why is that in there? Why is that right after that? That doesn't make much sense to me. Well, it didn't until I thought about it. And here's what this verse is saying. Remember your pastors. Remember Brother Kenny. Remember that those that have rule over you. Remember all the things that he does. But also know this. That one day Brother Kenny's not going to be a part of this church. Possibly. If the Lord tarries in his coming. Brother Jim was a faithful pastor for years and years and years of this church. But there came a time where he's no longer pastor of this church. Brother Kenny, there's going to be a time where he may no longer be a pastor. There may be a time where I'm no longer at this church. And what it's saying here is this. Remember your leaders. But remember, leaders come and leaders go. But Jesus Christ is the same. Amen. Yesterday, today, and forever. What an encouragement. What an encouragement. Our faith is not based on man, but is based on Jesus Christ. And He will always be the same. He will always be there. No matter what leaders come, and while leaders go. But in the meantime, remember your pastor. Remember that he is the one that has rule over you. Remember he is the one that preaches the Word of God. And he is the one whose conduct produces fruit. Imitate his faith. And remember his work. Okay? All right, if everyone would stand, we'll stretch our legs for a moment. We're going to dismiss. That's the message, the first message. And we're going to dismiss now. In a word of prayer, we're going to end this portion of the service. And we're going to take about a 10-minute break. And then we'll pick back up. We'll have some more specials. And then Brother Jim has prepared a message that the Lord has laid on his heart. And he'll be delivering the message to you. I'm excited for the second part. You put up with me for an hour, and now you get to hear Brother Jim. So that's a good thing. If nothing further, we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll have about a 10-minute break, and then we'll come back and gather back in our pews and begin the second part of our services.